Hey, let's go answer the bell, huh?
If we just know what we're doing, work at it, and concentrate and do it.
Let's go, fellas! Go!
Yo, what's happening? Welcome into another episode of the Patriots Podcast. I'm Sean, he's JJ.
Hello!
And we are here to talk about the exciting Patriots of New England, who are 1-0 in dominating fashion.
Dominating fashion, blowing up headlines, top of sports media, and in regular news and everything. Shit's going down.
They're goddamn everywhere. I don't know. Good thing Myra Kraft isn't around to see this, but there's some things swirling about, as they say. And I mean, we have to get right into it. We spent essentially all of last weekend talking about Antonio Brown. We might as well just begin the show by talking about it. I mean, what in the world? We spoke about it previously in a couple other episodes about how the guy is unhinged. He's clearly talented and just a locker room cancer, essentially. And
Pretty
then
much.
He winds up on the Patriots, and you always expect for
people, nothing.
Well, you expect people to say, oh, now that he's on your team, you're totally on board, right? I mean, I don't feel that way. Do you feel that way?
With him? Totally on board with him being here?
Yes.
I still have mixed feelings.
I have super mixed feelings. And this is even before the allegations that came out about the lawsuit.
Before the allegations, I was okay with it. Yeah. Once the allegations came out, now it's just like already, it's like, oh my God. Like I can see both sides of it. It's like, well, here's this guy. He's a troubled guy. He can't keep it together. Is he losing his mind? Or did he stage the whole thing in Oakland? I don't know. It seemed like he staged it just to get out of there. He was looking for a way out of Pittsburgh. He found it through Oakland, and he didn't like it there and was like, see you later.
Yeah.
Which is all a whole complete disaster. But he ended up on the Patriots, which maybe that's where one of the places he wanted to go the whole time. Now, and then these allegations come out, and it's like, well, this guy hasn't even been here for a day, and he's already making headlines for the wrong reasons again. And this wasn't his, you know, him acting out on a social media platform or him talking against his team. This is a personal issue that comes up, and you're like, oh, shit, he's got these too. It's not that he's an asshole or a nutcase in the locker room. It's like, well, he's actually could potentially be a bad guy outside. We don't know. Really, and no one really knows anything about this case.
Nobody knows, and yeah, we obviously have no idea what's going to happen or what did happen. So we can essentially put that aside and just talk about what we know. And what we know is that he has used social media to promote himself and denigrate his teammates in the past. And that alone was enough for me to be very wary of bringing him in as part of the team. And but that being said, I've been on here for years talking about how he is the best receiver in the NFL.
Yeah.
He's a separation receiver with possession ability, which makes no sense because he's like 5'11".
Yeah.
And I've bitched on innumerable times about the way that he uses his hands to separate from people and doesn't get called because he's 5'11". In a way that A.J. Green or Julio Jones would not be allowed to do.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, just superior talent. You add this to the offense. We saw what they were able to do last week.
Yep, which we'll get into.
And you just think about that mix of possibilities. If he's supposed to play
ridiculous
this weekend, and you envision that through the rest of the season, you do put in $9 million, $10 million of guaranteed money, whatever it is.
I've heard both. I don't know what the exact number is.
It's a lot to invest in somebody who is a maybe, a very strong maybe.
Mm-hmm.
But with the upside of this being potentially the premier receiving core in the NFL right now and possibly ever assembled. I mean, if depending on what you think about Josh Gordon.
Oh, yeah, this is probably the best offense ever assembled.
No, if receiving core.
I mean, offense, I maybe go definitely receiving core, without a doubt, hands down.
They got a never-started left tackle and center. That's sell for
me. Let's just wait till like week 5 or 6.
Okay, make sure they prove themselves.
I mean, yeah, for sure. I mean, the whole thing about Antonio Brown, I mean, especially with this lawsuit that came out, the one thing that I do know is that if this you know, whether that's a hoax or not, whether she's this woman's telling the truth or not, I have no idea. You like to believe these stories and that this woman wouldn't go out of her way to do something terrible like this or say something to, like, make an accusation like that. But on the other hand, you know, if it's a civil lawsuit, which it is, it's basically his word against hers, and everyone in the country knows right now no one's going to believe a damn word this guy says. That's for damn sure. The lawyers are like, yep, strike now, because no one's going to believe anything this guy says. Nobody.
If there's one thing I know about him off the field, it's that he doesn't have good relationships.
Yeah, obviously. So, but yeah, from a talent standpoint, it's insane. I mean, you, like you said, in Pittsburgh, which we'll get more into in a sec, what our offense did to what was supposed to, what I disagreed with, but supposedly was supposed to be a new up-and-coming defense, which I always have said is bullshit. So I don't know how much of that was played into it. But Josh Gordon and Julian Edelman were clearly tough to cover. And then you add Philip Dorsett in there, who played a monstrous, had a monstrous game just because he was the guy that nobody remembered kind of on the field. You know, nobody really accounted for him, and he looked the best he's looked. Him and Brady were on the same page more so than I can remember. And now you add in Antonio Brown to that, and it's just like, what are you going to do?
Well, you don't add Antonio Brown to that. You replace Philip Dorsett with Antonio Brown.
Right, and now you have Dorsett as coming on as a four. So right. A guy who was open all the time on a three is now going against a four when that happens.
Yes,
and so
the fact that Antonio Brown takes a lot of the coverage away from Josh Gordon and Julian Edelman, now you're in an intractable problem as a defensive coordinator.
I mean, it's insane. I don't know. Edelman's always open anyways, pretty much, unless you double cover him, but no one really commits that much to him. Yeah, I don't even know if you can, you know, you can't double cover Antonio Brown and Josh Gordon, and no one can cover him really one-on-one. The only guy that might have a chance is Stephon Gilmore, and he's on our team.
That's true. Yeah. I mean, like, there's a lot of talk about, and I brought it up last week, about Antonio Brown when he was on the Steelers and they played the Patriots in the opening game, the Thursday night game in 2015, and he was double covered with Malcolm Butler and Devin McCourty the entire game, and he still wound up with like a buck 40.
Yeah.
And you're just sitting there like, he was double covered the whole time. How is this possible? And so are you going to do that again and then leave your second cornerback on Josh Gordon and who the hell knows on Edelman and everybody else with no safety help? Like,
it's untouchable. Plus, if our running game didn't do much in this game, I guess we'll just go into the Steelers. The whole Steelers game, obviously, it was a 33-3 victory, which I kind of expected to some degree, but I didn't think the Steelers would just not show up. Basically, we did that, went into the game, nothing really happened. We started with that trick play to get things going, which was a great little pass to Edelman. And then Edelman threw it over to James White, who had four linemen in front of him and basically took it down the field. And then from there on out, it was just our offense was unstoppable. And the Steelers, it was great. And the Steelers had no answers for anything the whole game. Josh Gordon was just untackleable. Right. Like, there was his touchdown play, he had two guys that he just manhandled and was just like, nope, and walked right into the end zone. Over the middle, he was just taking, crushing guys.
Did you hear Collinsworth say on two occasions that he weighs 240 pounds?
Yeah, he's huge. He looks it.
He looks big. He's clearly lean as well, but I checked the rosters, and I mean, you never know. Everybody is like 225 or 230 or 215. Nobody is 222. Nobody's one of those in-between weights.
Right. But
Josh Gordon is still listed at 225. I mean, Tom Brady's been listed at the same height, weight for 20 years.
Yeah, he hasn't been the same weight for 20 years.
But he doesn't look bigger. He looks fierce.
Who?
Josh Gordon.
Oh, yeah.
Josh Gordon looks... He looks like an untackleable guy out there.
He does. I mean, it's like, what guy in the secondary is going to be big enough? And because he seems to like the contact, or, you know, he invites it. He lays out. He lays guys out when he puts a shoulder down.
Mind it.
Yeah, he puts a shoulder down, and they don't have a chance back there. I mean, 6'4", 2... even if he's 6'4", 230, there is no safety in the league that's that big. Maybe Cam Chancellor, who's lost a step.
He's out of the league right now.
Is he out of the league? He's not on the...
the only safety that size is on the Patriots practice squad, Obi Melanfonwu.
Right. So there you go.
There it is. The offense, Ted Karras, I thought was fine. He did everything you would want.
He did very well.
I was super impressed by Isaiah Wynn. The athleticism and just the positioning that he was able to do, I was super worried about him anchoring against bull rushes, and he was totally his hands on you, and he is good.
He is. He's got quick feet.
That's the whole thing. He's got great feet.
Like he's got a wide enough frame. He's not very tall, but he does have a wide enough frame. You know, he's got broad shoulders, and like you said, he's got decent length in his arms. But he's got quick ass feet for an enormous guy like that. That's all it is.
He gets not in the all right it spot. Is, but he's in the right spot, and then you can't get around him.
Yeah, you know, the Steelers defensive end. What's his name?
TJ Watt.
No, not Bud he wasn't. Dupree. Bud Dupree is who Wynn was mostly on. He's nothing great. I mean, I feel like he's middle of the pack outside linebacker.
Yeah.
You know, nothing special. But still, Brady wasn't even. They couldn't even get near Brady.
He wasn't whiffed.
Yeah, there was nothing. You know, he was just standing there and lofting up passes, and then. The great thing about Tom Brady, you see, he comes out first pass like a duck. You know, this is a 42-year-old quarterback. We're hearing he's doing great in practice, but that's his first pass. And, you know, I feel like I definitely did. I'm sure everybody did it a little for a sec. Can Brady not throw it? Like, is this why we're doing the running game thing and getting all these receivers? Because he has a tough time with his arm? What's the deal here? And then after that trick play got things going, that was it. And he threw a couple deep balls.
Of course he did.
Couple 30, 40-yard bombs downfield that were perfect.
I know.
To see a 42-year-old guy do that, it's like, well, he still hasn't.
58-yarder to Philip Dorsett.
Yeah.
I mean, that was the final tally after the yards after catch, but he bombed that ball.
Yeah, that was at least in the air for 40-something yards.
Yeah, offensively, when you're talking about this team with the stable of backs and the receiving core, The biggest question mark for me, you're going to add Antonio Brown to what we saw in week one, is always the offensive line can be the Achilles heel.
Yep.
So I know I'm Debbie Downer about this, but when you look at what could possibly go wrong for this team, I mean, we haven't even talked about the defense. Defense was ridiculous.
Stunning.
Yeah. And we knew it. We knew it was going to be like
that. Yeah, we knew they were going to be that good.
Yeah.
But I didn't know it was going to come together that they were going to look that good that quick in the season.
Exactly. But what can dismantle a super team, if you can take that term, is an offensive line that can't protect the quarterback.
Yeah.
That's what can happen. And you're looking at an offensive line with two first-time starters.
Yep.
It's an issue. And it's an issue. So far, so good.
Marcus Cannon had that injury, which seems scary at the moment, but he has been practicing. I don't know if he's going to play this week. The fact that he's practicing limitedly and it's an arm injury or a shoulder injury is a very good sign that he's going to be okay, you know, down the line.
Yeah.
For, you know, I don't know. Maybe this week it's Miami's going to be a joke. I don't know how much we'll get into. We'll get into it a little bit, but
there's nothing to talk about.
They suck. They're tanking. We'll get there in a sec, but. Yeah, I mean, the only thing on the offense, James White, I thought looked great. Rex Burkhead looked pretty good. Looks pretty good. But then Sony Michel looked like he was very hesitant, and I don't know why. Because in the preseason, he was hitting the hole so hard, and it looked great. And then now first week of the season, he looked sluggish out there. It was like. And he had like, what, 10, 12 carries for 18 yards or something? It was terrible.
15 for 14.
Oof.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a bad outing for him, but everybody else was really good.
Right. So everyone else kind of overshadowed it because it's like you didn't need him. It didn't matter. But I would have loved to see him get it going. And I feel like coming up in Miami is a perfect game to get him going, especially with the offensive line if Cannon's not playing.
I think he's from the Florida, Georgia area. Obviously went to college in Georgia.
Yeah.
And I think he'll have a good game. I think everyone's going to have a good game in Miami.
Everyone's going to have a good game. I mean, our defense.
We saw what Lamar Jackson did last week. It's not going to be a formidable front that they put out there. But, yeah, can we please talk about the defense? I mean, 3 points to the Steelers.
Yeah, on opening night when usually defenses are making mistakes and letting things up and, you know, not doing too well. We owned it from top to bottom. Pressure-wise, they gave consistent pressure, but they didn't really get to Big Ben a lot. It wasn't a lot of sacks, but they were hitting him. They did sack him once. I mean, our secondary is just as insane as we expected.
It doesn't make any sense how you could put that grouping of people together for the salary cap that they're using.
Yeah.
You got Devin McCourty, Patrick Chung, Daron Harmon. You have three starting caliber safety, borderline two Pro Bowlers. And then a cornerback, you're at least four deep. You got Stephon Gilmore, the best cornerback in the NFL, performing right now, this very moment. It might change halfway through the season, but right now, Stephon Gilmore's the best. And then after that, Jason McCourty, Jonathan Jones, and then you got J.C. Jackson, who just beats the fuck out of people.
Yeah.
And it's like, I don't know, how do you even put that together, fit that under the salary cap, all of those things, and then you unleash that upon an opponent who essentially has one wide receiver. Pittsburgh Steelers, for the last 10 years, have been known for the depth of their receiving
manual. I think it was a matter of time. I think they just got the shit kicked out of them. James Washington's going to be a good player, I think.
I think not, but...
No?
No, I don't think so. I'm an Eli Rogers guy. I always have been.
Ugh, he's too old at this point.
I know. He never popped. He's like 26 now.
I think James Washington's going to be decent, but regardless, Stephon Gilmore had his usual game. Jason McCourty, I thought, played great. He had one slip-up, which was when they led to the 3 points that they scored. It's because he already thought the ball was in the air. He slowed up for just a step, and you saw it.
Yeah, can't have that.
Which you can't have, but it's also a first game, whatever. But besides that, he was knocking the ball out of guys' hands all night. It wasn't even like the throws were bad. There were good throws and catchable passes. We were just batting them out of the receiver's hands.
Yeah. Kyle Van Noy in this game.
No either. Kyle Van Noy. Jonathan Jones is incredible.
He's worth every penny of that extension.
Stud all of a sudden. Like, he played out of his mind.
Who would you rather have right now, Jonathan Jones or Justin Coleman?
That's tough, but Jonathan Jones.
Jonathan Jones, right? And he cost $2 million less.
That's crazy.
After this season.
But Justin Coleman.
It's after this.
Got that much. Wow.
I'm proud of him. I'm glad.
Yeah, Belichick's picking up on the late round cornerbacks.
It's pretty so good. Funny. We were talking about undrafted this last cornerbacks. Week. How they're way better at undrafted cornerbacks than they are at second round one.
Yeah, it's insane. They've become so many studs they've picked.
Yeah.
Recently, the D line. Yeah, Michael Bennett looked like they were getting pushed, but they're getting enough push where it was unsettling Ben, and he was making throws at him. But nothing crazy, and they do have a good offensive line.
Yeah. Do you know what Ben's QBR was?
No, it's probably 18. Pretty bad. Yeah.
18.
Yep.
By the way, for the layman out there, 100 is the best. 50 is average. So picture Joe Flacco at 50.
Yeah.
He was at 18.
He was at 18. And then the linebackers, I thought, played phenomenal.
Oh, yeah. It's so good to see Jamie. Oh, my God. Jamie Collins.
He's telling people what to do. I mean, he's just blowing up offensive linemen. Making great tackles. He had a couple a big third down. He just blew through the gap, sack, takes the running back right down 5 yards behind the line on a big third down. I mean, that's a luxury to have a guy like that.
He's our third linebacker. By the way, the Patriots play nickel coverage. We mentioned how deep they are in the secondary. They want to play a lot of those guys. They're only going to play two linebackers most of the time.
Yeah.
Jamie Collins is a backup.
Why? Who do you think
essentially a backup?
It's him and
Kyle Van Noy.
Yeah, Van Noy. Well, they're really running a 3-5. They're running like a 3-4 though. So there's really it's 3-3 a lot of the time.
More like a 3.
But Bentley saw the field a little bit. He looked pretty good. Roberts didn't see the field too much, and he just got elected a captain.
He didn't see the field. I don't think one snap.
Which is fine with me. But then Hightower, a lot of people have talked trash about him in the past, but everyone gives him his credit. In the playoffs, this game, he was insane out there. I don't know if you watched him specifically, but he was kicking the shit out of people.
Yeah, I'm more focused on Jamie Collins.
So there was one play in particular. I was watching Hightower, and he was beating up, he just takes on, he was taking on linemen like they were nothing. Like, they couldn't block him. Then there was one play where he draws a holding penalty on Andrew Villanueva. So they show the replay for the holding penalty, and Dante Hightower actually punched him so hard, he he lifted him off the ground and slammed him. And the reason he got, they called the holding penalty, because as he lifted Andrew Villanueva off the ground, and I swear to God, he lifted him off the ground. Go back and watch the clip. Andrew Villanueva was grabbing onto him for his dear life that they called the hold. And he slammed him to the ground. He literally picked up a 300-pounder and body slammed him.
He's like a 330. Yeah.
And that, and Hightower was just like jacked up after. I was like, oh my God. It's like him and Jamie Collins at linebacker and Kyle Van Noy. It's like, are you fucking kidding me?
Everything behind the defensive line is like immeasurably good.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
You just can't put it together.
And the defensive line is, I mean, Larry fine. Guy and Michael Bennett, they played Michael Bennett every play at D-tackle, pretty much. He was on the field at every play.
I think in crunch time, when we're talking about the playoffs, it's going to be Lawrence Guy, Michael Bennett, three linebackers, and six defensive. I think that's how they're good. Because that's, you got to get your best people on the field. And they have, that's the way they're built.
Yeah. Well, the six defensive backs, it might be 6-5 and put another linebacker on there. Maybe well, a
that's,
Bentley.
That's the way that they view Patrick Chung, is he's a linebacker.
But still, I mean, depending on the package and all that crap. But yeah, people are going to basically be trying to score points on us because our offense is going to be so insane, with or without Antonio Brown, that
they're going to have so many takeaways.
They're going to have to score points.
Yeah, and they're going to end up chucking it up. We're going to have so many takeaways, so many opportunities at the quarterback when they send out five receivers. And the team is loaded. As much, I'm trying to think back the last time I thought this team was as loaded as it is right now.
It's 2007.
I was going to say 2014.
I mean, 2014 was loaded. The thing that really separates that team from this team is I can't remember the last time the team, the Patriots, have come out of the gate this fast and looked that good.
That's true.
Was 07.
Yeah, you're right.
I mean, 2014, we had to get our asses kicked that year before they were any good.
I know, right?
Literally, we come out of the field, offensive line, who has, like you said, two first-year starters, looks great against a good defensive front. Brady looked amazing. He was on the great same page with everybody. I mean, they just look, and then you look at the schedule that they're playing, it's like, they don't have a fucking real game for a couple weeks.
Yeah, it's wild, right?
And then what were you saying?
I was just going to talk about Miami, but continue.
I was going to say, and then we trade to Demaryius Thomas, which looks like a sketchy situation, but it's like we still have N'Keal Harry coming back in week six or eight or whatever it is.
Eight at the earliest.
So he's possibly coming back. And, you know, the thing that, you know, the Antonio Brown, take it what it is, but one positive that you can take from it is that now these younger guys can sit back and develop. Hopefully they don't learn any terrible habits from the guy. But Jacoby Myers now gets to be a bench guy. And he gets to learn the offense. And he doesn't have to go out there and get his ass kicked. You know what I mean? He can just develop into a great player because he came in. Do you see that catch he made over the middle?
Yeah.
Comes in, makes a 20-yard catch, gets popped over the middle, and gets right up.
That's his thing. Yeah. He's going to live over the middle.
So
that's a tough way to make a living. But
you got him and Jacoby Myers in your back pocket. No, him and N'Keal Harry in your back pocket. It's insane.
Yeah. And you talked about Phil Dorsett being the fourth receiver. Yeah, it's too bad to see Demaryius Thomas go because it appeared, and you've made this point before, that he and Tom Brady seem to have a camaraderie.
Yeah,
definitely. But it was a log jam. You can't carry seven receivers.
You can't. You have
20% of the team at that position. And so he moves on to the Jets. Belichick.
It is interesting that they traded him to the Jets for a 2021 sixth-round pick, too. Which is basically nothing.
It's a giveaway.
But why to the Jets?
Because they offered.
Because he had mono.
You think he had mono? No, infected Darnold.
I'm kidding. I saw that out somewhere online. I thought that was hilarious.
That is too funny.
Right?
I haven't seen that. That's great.
Yeah.
So he ends up there, and Belichick completes his trades with all 31 teams not being during his tenure as the head coach. And then the Patriots go to Miami next weekend, and this is a perfect opportunity for a trap game that we've seen in the past where they turn up down there and it's 90% humidity and it's 120 degrees or wherever the hell it gets to in Florida at this time of year. But this Miami team is a legitimate joke. I mean, they just traded away their starting left tackle. They traded away arguably their best wide receiver. Right now, everybody's injured for them.
And then they have a bunch of guys that are trying to get traded.
Yeah. Josh Rosen, who they traded for in the offseason, isn't even starting. They're going with Ryan Fitzpatrick because, you know, for some reason it's important to put out some guy that isn't your future versus put out Josh Rosen and see if he is your future.
They're trying to hit on a little bit of that Fitzmagic.
I don't know what they're doing, but it's a joke. Whatever, and I don't blame Brian Flores for it. It seems like this is a most likely an owner decision that's being perpetrated through the general. And then Brian Flores is sitting there going like, what the hell? Give me some with. But the point of the matter is Lamar Jackson threw for essentially 400 yards against them.
Yeah.
The Patriots are going to steamroll this team. We don't really have to talk about this game other than Antonio Brown is going to play for the first time. And it does feel a bit like Randy Moss's first game. Is it just me? It was also against the Dolphins.
I thought it was the Jets.
First game was against the Jets. Second game was against
against the Dolphins.
And that was a game where he had the one-handed catch in double coverage in the end zone.
Yeah, I do.
Like a 50-yard ball.
I mean, Antonio, I think he's going to play a little bit. I wonder what is going to happen, you know, what people are going to say about the whole thing with him. Because, I mean, it is wild that we got that guy. I mean, I still can't believe it. And I feel like a lot of people are giving Belichick some shade on it because of, you know, how it all went down and how he's willing to take a player like that now that he's got the lawsuit against him and Bill hasn't really said anything about it. So everyone's kind of bitter about this. Have you heard these things?
Oh, of course. Of course, yeah. I think a lot of it has to do with the lawsuit. From what I've heard, they didn't know about it. I think it's pretty bad homework because there are indications that Oakland actually did know about it.
Mm-hmm.
You got to do better homework than that. I have to think that if they knew about it, they would not have signed him or certainly not guaranteed the money that they did.
Yeah, and the one thing, you know, I do understand that people want Bill to give more of an answer. I know, you know, nobody expects him to, but in a situation like this where it's kind of, you know, it's more of a personal, it's not really a football thing, it's a very personal thing, and it's, you know, it would have been nice if he came out and addressed it. I definitely agree with that. The one thing I think is, though, about Belichick that people got to realize, and just some of these football players in general, or football guys in general, not saying it's a right thing, but I think they've seen so much worse than this. Like, this seems like a really bad thing, but, like, Bill's been in the NFL for, like, almost 50 years, right? He's coached some nut jobs over the year. Like, Lawrence Taylor was probably doing cocaine all throughout the 80s.
Don't say you could drop the probably from that statement.
Okay.
Lawrence Taylor used to send hookers to the hotel rooms of the opposing players.
Yeah. So imagine what he was doing himself. You know what I mean? So, like, when people are all up in arms at Belichick, you know, this, that, and the other thing, like, he has seen significantly worse things through the years. And he, in his mind, like, he's probably like, oh, here we go again, like, with another football player. You know what I mean? It's like not, that's like almost sad to say, it's sad to say, but it's almost like a run in the mill, probably, in the history of the NFL.
I get that.
Like, the amount of women that have come forward against players that he had in his locker room, and he's like, well, we'll see what happens. And at this point, he's probably seen so many of them go 50-50 to whether they were fake or real or something happened or something didn't happen.
So you think, even if he knew about it, he would follow through with the
possibly contract? I mean, depending on the information that he was given.
Potentially.
You know what I mean? Like, if he was given the information, yeah, this thing's coming across, we think it's bullshit, blah, 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 we have evidence showing that, you know, she's lying, then he's probably like, all right, yeah, it'll just play out versus, oh, yeah, we heard about, like, there's a report that they didn't know about it. Maybe. I mean, it's possible.
Yeah, maybe.
It's definitely possible, and I still think when he found out, like, if they thought it was that bad, they would have cut him.
They can't cut him with $10 million guaranteed. That's a problem. That's why I was so surprised they gave him so much guaranteed.
They do have stipulations in the contract that that they can cut him for. I read that they can cut him if he voices any negative opinion towards his teammates or his team or coaches, anyone associated there, or towards himself.
All right. I got a couple of things. The first thing is that Antonio Brown, who is outspoken, to say the least, on social media, joined the Patriots a little more than a week ago. And have you heard a peep from him? One headline. Anything that came out of his Snapchat, Instagram, whatever else.
Yeah, he posted a couple snaps and shit like that.
He posted. No headlines. No headlines. I feel like he's gotten the message to an extent.
What do you mean no headlines?
No headlines.
Like from what he's posted?
From what he's posted.
Oh, I got you.
Which goes back to your point about if he's going to do anything that's detrimental to the team, he would be shown the door. And that hasn't happened.
Right.
Because he doesn't want that to happen.
And I mean, this lawsuit's out of his control at the moment, clearly. And I mean, he released this thing on his Instagram or somewhere where he was basically sounded like a complete moron talking about this woman and a complete jackass, which didn't look good.
That's him. That's who he is.
That's who he is. Exactly. That's who he is. I don't think he's the most intelligent guy. So, you know, people are mad that he's saying this, and it's like, no, I think, like, you haven't heard people talk like this? Because I have. It's just an unintelligent person, unfortunately. That's all, you know, that's what it is.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like, there's
the body of a very talented person.
Exactly. There's plenty of people like this. You think everyone, like, I mean, maybe everyone in the Patriots organization doesn't talk like that. I don't know, or is really smart, but there's plenty of, have you heard Tyreek Hill talk?
I haven't, luckily.
I mean, he sounds like he's from, like, the mountains that barely speaks English down south. Like, the first time I heard him talk, I didn't even know what the hell he was saying.
I love that. I love when people speak English and need English subtitles.
There's a lot of guys like that in the NFL. Favorite. And I mean, I'm not defending Antonio Brown for what he did. I mean, it's, you know, at this point, it is what it is. He's on the team. They haven't cut him yet. So let's go fucking 19-0.
That's worth it. Yeah. And we have legitimate I've never been chance. A huge Antonio Brown personal fan. I've just defended him as best wide receiver in the NFL.
And he is.
And he has been up until last year. And I think DeAndre Hopkins, who I have denigrated in the past.
Wow.
He is right there. He's really
finally. I've been telling you that for years, and you're finally giving it to me, huh?
I know. I think you might be right, but I'm just so...
He's finally got a good quarterback. You see what he did the other night?
His yak yards are non-existent, and that's a big problem.
Not really.
Non-existent.
They're not non-existent.
They're non-existent. Look,
well, whatever. I don't know the stats. So I can't attest to them. But
that was a fun game, though. The Texans and Saints.
That was a great.
That was a good game.
That was insane in the end.
Yeah, right. Deshaun Watson with that touchdown drive on two plays.
13 seconds. No timeouts.
How do you hit a corner route to DeAndre Hopkins inside of a minute? That's all they're trying to do.
I know.
Is throw a corner out to DeAndre
Hopkins. And there was, they had,
you know, that's what's up.
They had no one. They had no one deep.
It made no sense.
The defense they were running made no sense.
Yeah, and then just the way that DeAndre Hopkins is able to control the ball once he gets a fingertip on it.
Yeah,
I've never seen anybody like that. The way that he controls the ball.
Yeah, it's just, it's his.
He gets might have him, the best hands I've ever seen.
He probably does. That's his thing.
In the top three, for sure.
He's like glue. It's just like a magnetic sticks to him, no matter what.
It's like him, you know. Chris Carter, and, I mean, Jerry Rice is in every top three. Wild stuff. What else stood out to you last weekend?
I mean, really, it was just the fast start was the biggest thing. I was blown away with how cohesive the team looked already. And now I just wonder what that Antonio Brown does to that, because I don't know if every player is on board with this signing. I'd have to believe that at least a handful of guys aren't, and you wonder how that affects the team.
Okay. I was referring to more of the league as a whole.
Oh, like league Tennessee as a whole.
Tennessee blowing out Cleveland,
that was,
which we called.
Awesome.
Right?
That was so awesome, because Tennessee, I mean, now that they got blown out, I kind of want Cleveland to open, like, I want them to lose another game or two and then start being okay.
They're not going to lose to the Jets, minus Darnold, the mono cesspool, and C.J. Mosley. Le'Veon Bell's not going to play.
Well, there's a shocker for you, too. The Jets looked pretty damn good and then lost the game.
They didn't look good.
They got like three interceptions that game.
Yeah, exactly, because Josh Allen. And then what happened once the turnovers dried up? They lost.
That's my point. You can't lose a game where you're up by, what, 14 or 16, and you get three turnovers.
They were up 6-0 at halftime and had 4 turnovers. They had a +4 at that point.
Classic 6-0. Fucking Jets.
They shanked the extra point. They can't do anything.
They're terrible. It's really unfortunate because everyone thought they could be good this year.
No. Everybody thought wrong.
And they looked terrible. Bad. They look That's a bad team. Fucking terrible.
Sam Darnold is out indefinitely for mono. I kicked that shit in like 3 days.
Did you?
Yeah.
No, you didn't. Yeah, I thought it'd take a month.
No.
Did we talk about the Bears game? The Bears-Packers game? Mitch Trubisky, everyone thought the Bears were going to be good. They have a great defense, but Mitch Trubisky looks fucking terrible.
Yeah, yeah.
He was picked over Pat Mahomes.
I know. And Deshaun Watson.
Wow, talk about the worst fucking draft pick ever. They showed a picture. There was a picture going on, like someone made a meme out of it, and it's like what Mitch Trubisky sees at quarterback, and he's looking one side of the field where everyone's clearly covered and there's a ton of traffic, and then there's just one guy literally wide open in the end zone waving his hands, and Mitch is just not looking.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah. The Rams.
He's god-awful.
He's terrible.
Did you see the Tremont Williams quote about him? Because that's my favorite quote.
Yeah, I did. This year.
He goes, we understand they got the bodies. Those guys are extremely talented, but we knew if we made Mitchell Trubisky play quarterback, we'd be all right.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like he always plays quarterback.
Yeah, he is the quarterback. That's the best way to put it.
It's so perfect.
The Rams basically a lot of teams, it's week one, a lot of teams didn't look that good. You know, no one really came out guns blazing. I mean, the Titans did against the Browns, which is pretty crazy. The Chiefs always look good. The Ravens looked incredible, like you've been wanting them to, but they were playing the Dolphins. So it's like, well, what does that mean? Was it just the Dolphins are that bad, or are they that good?
Yeah, that goes with a big grain of salt. I know.
Yeah.
I know. I picked the Ravens in a big way.
But, I mean, they're, you know, Lamar can throw. I loved Lamar's quote. You hear Lamar's quote after the game?
No, what'd he say?
They asked him, they go, oh, so, you know, all the doubters about your throwing, you know, how you throw, like, after this performance, what do you think? And he goes, pretty good for a running. Or they go, do you think that's going to silence the critics? And he goes, I don't think so. But he goes, pretty good for a running back, huh?
Oh, awesome.
Yeah.
He's another guy that's got a serious accent.
Yeah.
They get another challenge next week when they host the Arizona Cardinals.
Yeah, exactly. It's like
the worst team in the league.
So that's a thing. So we at least played the Steelers, who were supposed to be good. They played two teams that are dog shit, and they're probably going to kick the crap out of the Cardinals, too, to some extent. Now, you know, they're going to feel high and mighty, and then they're going to come into a game with an actual coach and team. And they're going to get punched in the mouth. Mark my words.
It could happen.
It's going to happen.
I'm a believer in Lamar Jackson. And so we'll see how it goes.
Yep. Probably one of the biggest shockers was how the Bengals almost or should have beat the Seahawks.
Yeah, I thought that was going to be a blowout.
I did too. And they played great. The Niners were getting the shit kicked out of them by the Buccaneers and looked terrible. Jimmy G looked awful. And then somehow they won 31-17.
Jameis Winston, it's over.
Didn't he win the other night against the Panthers?
Yeah, but I don't
Panthers
see it. The
Panthers suck, dude. Cam Newton looks terrible.
Yeah,
and he went up on stage in his press conference looking like an idiot based on the way he was dressed.
What, was that new for you?
No, but then he goes, I'm going to have to take a serious look at myself in the mirror. It's like, are you? How about you stop worrying about what you're going to wear after the game and fucking play?
Yeah, it appears that you have not looked in the mirror at all.
Yeah, you look like
you look horrific. You
look like a jackass, and then you go out there and get your ass kicked, and it's like you care more about what you're wearing after the game than what happened during the game.
Yeah, that part's a joke.
I mean, imagine being in that locker room, and you just get your fucking, you just lose to the Bucks when you shouldn't lose to them, and then your quarterback, who got sacked and played terrible, is taking 30 minutes to dress himself as a Fruit Loop to go out on stage. Like, well, how would you fucking feel? I'd be like, Jesus Christ, how are we going to win a damn game?
That's my leader? That's the guy heading up our team?
It's like putting on a Halloween costume to go to the press conference.
Yeah, exactly. Where's my scarf? Did you put the gold flakes on it yet?
Yeah.
Yeah, that part's a joke. But I do think, James, it's runs down there. last week, I was surprised to see that the Colts played as well as they did.
They look, Jacoby Brissett looks pretty good.
He looks good. I know. I shit on him for a long time.
A lot of people did.
Yeah. I shit on him and the team in general for a long time over the last, and they look good. And I'm willing to bet a bunch of money that they're going to win this week. I think they're going to do just great in Tennessee against the Titans. Titans come, it's classic Titans, isn't it? You go into Cleveland, you get a big win against a team that was favored against you, team that was making national headlines, yada, yada, yada. You come in with a big head, you go back home, and then you just blow it. I totally, totally buy that. The Colts are going to beat the Titans this weekend. I think Cincy, who you just brought up, is also going to win at home. They're hosting the Niners.
Yeah, they're going to win.
In a game that was underwhelming from the 49ers.
Cowboys look pretty decent too. I think they're going to be, they're going to beat up the Redskins.
Yep.
Yeah.
I agree.
Seahawks Steelers. That's a great 1 o'clock game. I hope that's the other game on.
I think, well, everybody knows the Seahawks don't travel, and I think Pittsburgh bound.
I mean, they have to, because if they go 0-2, that's kind of classic Steelers sometimes. Sometimes they have years like that. They have a really slow start, and then they're battling to get into the playoffs like every year by the end.
Yep.
The Bills, Giants, crap. Sorry, go.
My number one pick this weekend is Denver. Denver's going to be hosting the Bears, and I think that that is a slam dunk for the Broncos.
Think so?
Absolutely. I think they look terrible against the Raiders. For no reason. I don't know why they look so bad. But the Bears look super shitty, and they got to come in and face even a better defense with the Broncos than they did against the Packers, and they got to do it a mile high.
Yep.
I think they're screwed.
Dude, how about the Raiders? I think they're going to give the Chiefs a run.
No.
For their money tomorrow. I think they're going to have a good game. No, just for the game.
In one game. I thought you meant for the season.
I have no idea. I mean, if they beat them tomorrow, sure, but... No, I think they're going to play a good game against them. I love seeing Gruden out there.
I love seeing Gruden.
He gets so fired up with the refs. It is so awesome and funny. He gets so pissed. He's got that huge fucking smirk on his face like they could go fuck themselves.
Yeah, I know. It's priceless.
And they look good. They looked pretty good.
They did look good. It's like old school football. I like the way they play. It's
fun to watch. They were playing fast and exactly. I mean, that's...
And the single back, and they're setting him up in good places.
Josh Jacobs looked great.
That guy's, he's fierce.
Yeah, he was fast and hitting the hole hard. He was good. The best game of the week is definitely the Saints-Rams rematch of last year's NFC Conference Championship.
Clearly.
At 4:25.
They put the Saints in a real bad spot. They played Monday night on the road. Now they got to go home and then go back. Back out west for a Sunday game. I think that's a lot to ask from a football team, especially very early in the season. And I think that puts the Rams at an advantage.
Yeah, I think so too. I think you're right.
Actually, they were at home on Monday night, but whatever. It doesn't really matter. It's about the short week and the travel. It's too much to put on one team. And when they're so tight, I mean, they played twice last season. And outside of Michael Thomas being an absolute savage in that regular season.
He's an animal.
He is.
He's arguably the best receiver in the league.
He is in that conversation. The only problem with him is that why doesn't he get more targets?
I don't know.
Could somebody please tell me why Michael Thomas... He catches 85% of his targets.
Yeah.
Why is he not being targeted more?
I know. I don't know.
He should be setting all kinds of records for amount of reception in a season, and he's not. That part brings him down a notch for me. But this matchup is so even that I think that the short week works in the Rams' favor. And I think at home that they're able to pull it out. Not by much.
Yeah. Well, sweet. What do you expect the Patriots' score to be?
Like I said, I think this is going to be back to the 2007 Dolphins game. I don't remember what that one was, but it was like 44-10. So I'm going to go with that.
I'm gonna go with.
I think it's gonna be outrageous.
I'm gonna go 42-6.
It's gonna be nuts.
42-6.
What's the line at? Let me pull it up right now.
I think it's.
I bet
it was
the line
plus 19.
16.
19. Minus 19 page or 19 and a half or something.
I see 18 and a half, and it's gonna be 92 degrees.
I think they're gonna. We should slaughter them. I mean, the only thing they got going for them is that Flores knows the Patriots. And last year, every so often, when these Patriots ex-coaches come in. You know, they know Bill. They know Brady. They know kind of know how they tick a little bit. So they know how to get to him to some degree. Like last year with Detroit, we thought they sucked. We thought we were going to go in and kick the crap out of them. And they beat us, like, which was ridiculous. But, you know, this year we are already playing much better football than we were by week three of last year.
True.
So, and we have a much more talented, like, there's no fat on this roster. You look on this roster top to bottom, there is almost not, there's not one player you can look at and be like, who is this? Why is he on the team? What purpose does he serve? I feel like last year there was at least two or three guys like that.
Right.
So
yeah, this team's stacked.
It's top to bottom. There's no
way. They should dominate. The only way they don't is, like you said, if Brian Flores has some inside info or if the conditioning is just not there.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. There you have it. Well, thank you all for listening. We appreciate you all tuning in for the Patriots podcast here, and we will be back to talk to you next week, hopefully from a Patriots 2-0 start.
You got it.
All right. Thanks, Al. See ya.
Adios.